I just did a whole intro and then realized I wasn't even fully recording, so that was super fun. Welcome into another episode of Dynasty Down Under. I'm your host, Jay, and I'm super excited to be with you to bring you some Week 12 recap in action. It was a super fun week across our league. As always, lots of up and downs. The tides are turning. Things are settling out. The dust is settling. And I'll let you guys know where the standings are if you've been keeping up with the show throughout the season. First off, this week we had some great scores. Scoot Henderson balled out. He was the highest scoring guard. Tyrese Maxey, highest scoring two guard. Tatum at the three. Sabonis at the four with a 70-point game. And then Nikola Jokic, of course, at the center position is going to have the best game. Our most efficient manager was Poppin' with Tebow. Our least efficient was Lord Sage. Our highest points in a loss was the Puzini dynasty, and then our lowest points in a loss in a win was Crisscross 95. Our top free agents that were out balling this week were McBride, Nick, point guard, Burks from Detroit, Kevin Knox also from Detroit, Larry Nance from the Pelicans, and Mo Bamba in Philly, who was filling in admirably for Joel Embiid. Looking out of this week, I ended up taking the week from Magic Claws, so we both improved. We are both now 6-6. The Puzini dynasty actually falls to 5-7 after losing to Team Mitchman. So Mitchman improves to 8-4. Discount Presti again loses and falls to 2-10 against Team Poppin' with Tebow. And then to Infinity Wimbeyond falls to 8-4 as All Balls No Bite improved to 7-5. The Grannies narrowly lost to Pavola and Popovich as Pavola and Popovich improved to 7-5. And then Thug Life falls to that blue guy 358 to 337, and both are now 6-6. So as it stands right now, our top six, Poppin' with Tebow is at number one at 11-1. Mitchman 95 is at 8-4. To Infinity Wimbeyond is 8-4 as well in third. Pavola and Popovich are 7-5. All Balls No Bite is also 7-5. Fox the Therians, Magic Claws, Thug Life, and that blue guy are all 6-6. So 6 through 9 are all 6-6. And then the Puzini Dynasty is 5-7. Discount Presti is 2-10. And the Grannies are 0-12. So we're really starting to see things shape out and move around as we go through this league season. Let me see. I don't think we had any like big trades this week. We saw the Grizzlies are probably the hottest commodity pickup in your dynasty leagues with all their overabundance of injuries. So it's been kind of crazy with all that, with Memphis losing Ja Morant now. And they just keep losing guys left and right. Gigi Jackson's balling out. Vince Williams balling out. So the Grizz are definitely looking really, really, really good pickups because these guys are going to get starter minutes and they're going to get a lot of run. And they're young and extremely talented. So the future is very bright with good health. Bane's hurt now. Everyone's hurt. All their main starters are hurt. Smart, Bane, Morant, Adams, they're all hurt. So if their Grizzlies are out there and available, if you need some starters, there are some starters that are going to be available out there for you. Let's jump in, and I'm not going to do a super long episode. I really just want to talk like the rumors and stuff because there's so many. So it's been kind of a crazy couple weeks. Of course, we're about 2.5 weeks out from the trade deadline. In the NBA, so of course things are getting crazy. As of today, we are at, so today is Tuesday, January 16th. We are at game 39 being played across the NBA for most teams. So we're really, really close to the NBA halfway mark, which is really cool to see, and teams are really trying to decide what direction they're going to go. So this week, let's start here. It was kind of a crazy week for the Warriors as the last couple weeks have been crazy. Kuminga and Moody both come out. We don't trust Kerr. We're never going to develop here. Get us out, pretty much, what they're saying. Draymond comes back as well into the mix. Then they start losing again. They've been losing. They've been up and down. Klay is looking more and more like a locker room cancer, just being really negative, not saying great things. And I would 100% assume it's all related to him not getting the extension that he wanted prior to the season and getting that commitment from the team. So First off in the week, they ended up saying that we're committed to the veteran core of Steph, Clay, and Dre. And then they kind of backtracked that quite a bit by saying, well, actually, everybody but Steph is available. Because our season's pretty much lost. We are no good. And we need to blow this thing up. And then they started saying, we want an offensive, another 7-footer who plays big, but also can ball next to Steph and run a solid pick and roll kind of option. So the Warriors are just an absolute mess. I do not know what to say in this situation with them, because, I mean, they could get Siakam. There's no shortage of options out there who could be available to go and get and help this team right now to get them back in. Again, my question still stands to everybody. Who gets traded first? Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, or Moses Moody? Or Klay Thompson? I mean, of the Warriors, those five, who is going to get moved first? I don't think TJD is going to go anywhere. I don't think Podziemski is going anywhere. So I don't think any of their young guys who are on, like, first year in their rookie deals are going to go anywhere. Those are going to keep those guys. Gary Payton is going to be hard to trade with injuries. So I really don't think a lot of the guys are really going to go anywhere. But that's kind of my take on it. The Warriors need to get aggressive and make some trades, get some picks, reload the system, let Steph ride out his glory days in Golden State. He might not win a lot, but he already has multiple rings, and if he really wanted to, he may just will a team into the playoffs and through the playoffs. He could do that. Or we could be looking at a situation, if the Warriors are to blow it up between this trade deadline and the offseason and keep Steph around with a bunch of young talent, Steph could force his way out to a team of his choosing, or, you know, he's incredibly loyal. He could stay. So there's a lot of scenarios that could play out over this. So definitely be paying attention to the Warriors, as they have a lot of pieces, but not a lot of people are buying in on Wiggins or Draymond. Kuminga's look great. They've been moving him back and forth between the starting lineup and the bench. He's been awesome leading the second unit. Moody's been hurt, so that's kind of hurt his value a little bit. Overall, I really hope that they're able to move some of these contracts and players around for just better contracts, better players, younger, fresher, with more upside as well. Like I was saying about the Grizzlies, John Morant undergoing season-ending surgery for a labrum tear in the shoulder. Desmond Bane's hurt. Those guys are just the Grizzlies are cooked this year. Just go and get your Grizzlies, because they're going to be a lot of fun to watch, and those guys are going to have a lot of fun playing. The Spurs are, well, maybe not just the Spurs. DeJounte Murray is getting a ton of interest from Atlanta. He plays for Atlanta currently. They've tried the double point guard experiment. It has failed massively to the point where Atlanta's like, we will trade pretty much anyone but Trey and Jalen Johnson. So those are kind of their newfound core. So DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella. A lot of these guys I've been talking about for a few weeks now that have been in the rumors pretty heavily are the guys in the eyes that we're going to want to keep a pretty solid look on as we progress into the trade deadline. So definitely keep your eyes peeled on that. DeJounte Murray is a big name that could be moved. Halliburton got hurt, but it's not serious. I thought this was a really cool one for the Heat. And the reason I thought it was a cool one for the Heat is because the connotation behind it. If you didn't know that Eric Spoelstra recently got divorced and it was finalized, everything was split, every assets were all aligned. And then the Heat take care of their boy and sign him to an 8-year, $120 million contract, which is the largest ever for a coach in the NBA. Excuse me. It's the largest ever for a coach in the NBA, and I just thought it was absolutely hilarious. If that's true, I have not vetted it or looked deeply into it at this time, but that's kind of where we're at. Another fun piece of news here before we really jump back into like the rumors and the players and the teams and everything is that Netflix is creating a new NBA documentary series modeled after its NFL quarterback show. The five players that are going to be featured are LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, and Domantas Sabonis. So I think that's super cool. You know, of course, with Sabonis, you have legacy ties with Ant. You have the Michael Jordan conspiracy with LeBron. You have arguably top three greatest all time. Tatum, one of the biggest and brightest stars in the NBA. And Jimmy Butler, obviously the best personality just in the NBA as a whole. So we love that. We love it so much. Tonight, Joel Embiid returned. He was on the verge of being, he's about six or seven games away for the rest of the season that he can miss so he doesn't lose out on MVP voting. That would be a huge shock to the MVP voting if he is to miss all those games and not be eligible for the vote. So that's a new rule if you missed it this offseason that the NBA instilled that if a player misses a certain amount of games, they're not going to qualify for the season award. Sixth man, rookie of the year, MVP, all these things. They have to meet the criteria and the games played. Hence why they put in so many new things on talk and rest and everything. Let's talk about Toronto for a second. Because why not? Because everyone in the NBA is talking about Toronto and Pascal Siakam. And I'm over it. I'm so beyond over it. Pascal Siakam, they had an offer from the Kings, it sounded like, about a week ago, around Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, Davion Mitchell, and a first-round pick for Siakam. I thought that was really cool. And then it continues as we go on to he doesn't want to play for the Kings, so he doesn't see that as a long-term fit. And then he go. Then we're starting to see now today that there's some rumors and connections to the Pacers and wanting to go there, and Buddy Hield, and I want to say Bruce Brown, and some picks are involved in that. So that deal sounds like it's really close to materializing. I think that would be a great spot. I think Halley would do great having another. A real pick and roll option and another option next to Miles Turner there on the wing and at the forward position, I think would do that team really, really well just to load up a little bit more talent around Halley. Again, if you didn't know, the Grizzlies also lost Marcus Smart to a long-term injury, Desmond Bane to long-term injuries. Bane and Smart are out, both out like 6 weeks. The Clippers were working on some extensions this last week. Staying in the West here. The Clippers signed Kawhi Leonard to a long-term extension. It was a three-year, $152.4 million contract extension. So he's going to avoid free agency this offseason, and it's also fully guaranteed, which I think is a mistake. But money talks in basketball. He's got that new arena. If you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and I would head over just to Bleacher Report. Click on the NBA tab, and you'll be able to see some of the videos that they're releasing about the Kings' new arena. I thought it was super dope. James Harden is saying that he wants to stay with the Clippers long term. They're wanting to extend Paul George long term and really keep their big three together through the twilight of their careers over the next 3 to 5 years. So I think it'll all work out for them. The money's right there. They have it all. I don't see it not happening. If you didn't start Grayson Allen tonight, I'm really sorry. But also talking about the Suns, Kevin Durant did actually come out and say that he's denying the reports that he wants to trade. He doesn't want to be traded. He's denying the rumors about the frustration, about the narrative, pushing back against it, saying, I'm good here. I've got no problems. We good. I'm happy here. He likes the core. He likes the team overall. Things are good. He doesn't want to get traded. I'm not frustrated because Brad was injured. I wasn't frustrated because of the role players on the team. That shit really was ignorant to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, we lose a game. You think I'm supposed to be happy after we lose a game? You know what I'm saying? I'm not frustrated with the whole situation. I may be frustrated at the moment at a bad play or a tough stretch, but not enjoy the grind. The Suns are right now, I believe, I want to say they're in line for a play-in spot. They beat the Kings tonight to improve to 22-18. which, yeah, they're in full grasp of the 8 seed right now. Only a game and a half out of the 5-6 seeds, with Dallas and the Pelicans, and they're only 1 game behind the Kings as well in that mix. So kind of watch out for the Suns as they get healthy and stay healthy. They've also kind of been the subject of some roasting. Nurkic is apparently wanting to sue Draymond for what happened. Shaq's roasting him, calling him soft. Like, come on, it's not what big men do. We're tougher. We're better than that. Kind of getting after him quite a bit on that. I thought that was interesting. I don't think he should sue. That's my take. Like, it happened. He already suspended. He got in trouble. Let it rest. Move on. Like, your athlete, things happen. Like, move on. Don't be soft. Come on. Let's go. No way am I defending Draymond Green, but also at the same time, it's not good for the game. It's not good for big men. It's not good for the legacy of big man. It makes Nurkic look like a really bad target, paints him in a negative light, and also just paints Draymond an even worse light to try to get him like out of the league or suspended because of the charges. So it's just rough. It's ugly. The NBA is preparing this offseason to move to a 2-day draft. The first round would be on June 26th. The second round would be on June 27th. So you would want to line up your rookie drafts to be probably June 28th, 29th. Once the excitement is all built, contracts are signed, picks are swapped. I get really excited for rookie drafts, as most do, because it really does help carry you through into the next season. We already talked about the Warriors. DeJounte Murray has a crazy market. The Lakers, the Spurs. All sorts of people, all sorts of teams. LaMelo Ball's back. Just wanted to touch on that. The Mavericks are really eyeing Pascal Siakam as well. They see him as a missing piece. I thought that was super interesting. The Pistons and the Warriors actually didn't make a trade, and this one was kind of sad, actually, because Marvin Bagley and Isaiah Lewers, they were actually at practice when they got traded to the Wizards for Danilo Gallinari and Mike Muscala. Now, I don't know if Muscala and Gallinari are actually going to stay on the team or if they're going to be bought out. They could be buyout candidates, much like Gordon Hayward if he is traded. So that's a little bit about that as it stands at this very moment. And yeah. That's kind of the week 12 news. Let me just go through real quick because I feel like there should be other stuff I'm missing from the last week. Like I said, Harden, Paul George want to stay. The Pacers are really close to a Siakam trade. They're active. The deal includes 3 firsts. The Warriors, the Mavericks also have had interest in Siakam. Siakam's kind of the big target this trade deadline. Everyone thought it was going to be LaVine. I haven't heard a dang thing about Zach LaVine staying or being traded. The Jazz have really emerged. They're hushing a lot of the rumors about Collins and Markkanen. They are hot. They are one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They're currently 9th in the West. They're 9-1 over their last 10, so the best record over their last 10 in the West, ahead of the Clippers, who are 8-2 and also playing some phenomenal basketball. The Suns and the Pelicans are 7-3. So that kind of gives you perspective. So they are super hot. They are playing incredibly well. They're 22-20. So they are just playing great team ball. So the Collins rumors, the rumors of Clarkson and Markkanen and Collins, all being up for sale. They're definitely hush-hush. Let's look into some of the latest trade buzz here. That's kind of our focus that's been the last few weeks because it's trade season. Once the trade deadline passes, we'll definitely talk about All-Stars as the All-Star ballots get revealed and a little bit more. So we talked about Siakam. DeJounte Murray could be traded before his extension kicks in. Let's see. Yeah, so he could be traded before his extension kicks in. The Nets, the Knicks, the Spurs, the Lakers are all in on Murray. He's kind of the second biggest chip right now. Zach LaVine, there really hasn't been a lot of noise for him, for DeRozan, or for Caruso. The Pacers, again, they're looking for a bigger wing. Kyle Kuzma, Pascal Siakam are kind of being linked. The kind of the asking price for Kuzma right now is they're wanting 2 to 3 first round picks plus a couple players. Will not be surprised. The Thunder, I'm really hoping that the Thunder get someone. I would love for them to get Lauri Markkanen. I think that would be a phenomenal move. Isaiah Stewart, obviously, you know, he already got traded. I really like that. Bagley just got traded. Oh, no, Isaiah Stewart, I think, would be a great fit for this team. Another big or big to let Chet run at the four, Jalen Williams at the three, Giddy at the 1-2 with SGA, I think would be a really good combo. You know, an investment like Siakam now would mean not paying someone else later. So it would definitely have a lot of connotations. But I think Isaiah Stewart would be the perfect fit here. I think he'd be really good, and they could definitely use one. And it would definitely make sense if they trade like an Osme Dieng or a Trey Mann. The Wizards could be a seller. I wouldn't expect them not to be. Tyus Jones, Delon Wright, both on expiring deals. Wright, I think, would, or Tyus Jones, I would love to see him on the Spurs with Wemby. Just really help him out there. Gafford has 2 more seasons at $14 million a year. They're getting kind of greedy with that and the value. McDermott, or the Spurs could also look to trading like CeeDee Osman, Doug McDermott. Devontae Graham could also be moved. The Spurs need a point guard to go with everyone. The Blazers, they have way too much. They believe that the Blazers have too much payroll committed next year for a rebuilding team, which could lead to a Malcolm Brogdon or Grant trade. So again, those guys have been expected all season. Jeremy Grant, Malcolm Brogdon could be on the move. Other names, you know, Detroit could move veterans like Bojan Bogdanovic. They said they won't. Joe Harris, Alec Burke. And the Hornets are expected to make just about anyone except for like LaMelo, Brandon Miller, and Mark Williams available. Which leads to kind of thinking that the rest of the NBA is buying. The Suns are buying. The Wizards are selling. The Timberwolves could look to bring back Jones to Minnesota as a backup. The Sixers need a playmaking guard. A Malcolm Brogdon or someone. The Rockets could be looking for a backup big. They could target Nick Richards of the Hornets, Gafford of the Wizards, New Orleans, Pelicans. They're going to try to take a team, convince a team to take on Kira Lua junior salary. They could also look to move someone like Larry Nance Jr. in draft compensation. Also try to go get Nick Richards or Gafford and hopefully get Zion healthy. Also, there's a lot going on. If you pay attention to like social media and X, Zion has a whole conspiracy going on right now while we're talking about the Pelicans. That he got an adult star pregnant. It's a whole thing. There's a lot of circulating details, but I figured I'd just bring that up because why not? I can. The Clippers could use like a PJ Tucker, or could use another power forward or someone to allow for Harden, George, and Kawhi to play the 1, 2, and 3 while Thais runs the 5. PJ Tucker and Bones Highland would be their bait. The Celtics, of course, they've been looking to fill out their bench a little bit more with some more established role players. The Bucks, of course, the Nuggets also looking for some established role players. Brooklyn's kind of in between. Could they be looking to sell a guy like Nick Claxton? He could be hoping for a sign and trade. He's not eligible for an extension. And of course, the Kings and the Mavericks are also expected to be buyers versus sellers and hope to booster their wing option. So the teams I'm really looking at that need to make a move are some of these fringe teams who need to really be able to set themselves apart. In the East, it's painstakingly obvious. The Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, those are the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. the Cavs, the Heat, the Pacers, and the Knicks. The Knicks just did a trade for OG Anunoby. They should definitely get back up into that top six, out of the play-in spot. The Cavs have been playing good basketball. They're not really looking to trade anybody right now. So those four teams in the East, I think, definitely need to look toward the West, because I don't think anyone in the East is going to want to trade within the East, keep it in-house, outside of maybe the Pistons, the Wizards, and the Hornets, and the Raptors, of course, and the Hawks. I don't see any of those teams making, like, significant moves. The Hornets are 1-9 in their last 10. The Pistons and the Wizards are 2-8. The Raptors are 3-7. The Nets are 2-8 in their last 10. The Hawks are 4-6 in their last 10. The Magic are 4-6. The Bulls are 5-5. So all these teams, the Magic, the Bulls, and the Nets, and the Hawks, and the Raptors, it's hard not to group those group of teams together, because they should all kind of be competing for the 8-9-10 spot. Those five teams for three playoff spot. And I really think the top seven in the East is the top seven. Just, you're going to flip 4 through 7 a lot. I think it's going to be Celtics, Bucks, Sixers in some order at the top, without a doubt. The Cavs, the Heat, the Pacers, Knicks are going to be your next group fighting for 4 through 7. And then 8, 9, 10 comes down to the Magic, Bulls, Nets, Hawks, Nets, Hawks, possibly the Raptors as well. So don't count them out, even though they're trading some key pieces. Definitely look for those teams to maybe make some auxiliary moves, or to be buyers, or maybe to sell some pieces and just tank a little bit, and, you know, just get some losses and try to develop their young talent. Kind of looking over in the West, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Clippers. I would say those are probably the top four, barring injury. I see those guys, those four teams, as like the top four teams. In the West, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Suns. I really just see the Kings and the Mavericks here as 5 and 6. I don't think the Pelicans don't have enough right now without another move to stay at that top six within that, right around that six. I think the Kings are just a much better team. They're 5 and 5 with their last 10, so they've hit a little bit of a rough patch. But I definitely expect the Kings to get back up into the 4, 5, 6. So those four teams, I definitely think will add pieces. I think the Wolves, the Thunder, and the Nuggets are very much set on where they're at. Why break something? Why fix it if it ain't broken? They're all 6-4 over their last 10, playing some solid basketball. This is where things get really interesting. Kind of looking at it here. The Suns, the Jazz, and the Lakers are all very good teams. The Suns have their big three. The Jazz are super hot. The Lakers have LeBron. I don't see any teams below them taking them over. The Rockets have a really good team. They're very well coached. They have a very good roster. I just don't see them getting enough or making a move to really compete enough. The Warriors, if they're selling and they actually do stick to the plan and sell and go with their young talent and develop, there's no way. The Grizz, they're toast. The Blazers and the Spurs, they're already eliminated in my head. I don't see them coming back whatsoever. So it really, the top 10 in each conference, I would say, looking at halfway through the season, is kind of where you're looking. So you're really going to want to pay attention for dynasty team. What are these top 10 teams in each league doing? In each conference doing? The Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Cavs, the Heat, the Pacers, the Knicks, the Magic, the Bulls, and the Nets. Who are they adding? What is their role? Are they getting a star from one team and moving him into a lesser role? Or are they adding someone to make them into that star that they need to complement their other pieces? So definitely pay attention to kind of some of those names that are circulating frequently. Because there's a lot. Quentin Grimes is also getting calls with the Knicks. The Knicks are taking calls on him. So there's just a lot of names being thrown around. But of course, you keep hearing Pascal Siakam, Zach LaVine. Warriors are wanting to trade absolutely everybody. So it's kind of going to be crazy next couple of weeks. I really expect, once like the Siakam deal goes through, for teams to have a better idea. The Kings also were looking at possibly trading like Herter and some other pieces as well. I don't think they will. I think kind of the trade buzz, trade rumors are kind of getting to them. The Hawks set the price tag for Murray. They want 2 first-round picks. The Hawks and the Lakers are still in talks. The Raptors want multiple first round picks for Siakam. They're involved with the Pacers. I think that's going to come through. The Wizards want two first round picks for equivalent value. The Cavs are going to ride out what they have this season. They're not expecting to make any sell-off moves, maybe some auxiliary moves, but they have a pretty solid team there. Let's see. The Magic are exploring trades for Markelle Fultz and Wendell Carter Jr. to move them. Makes total sense there. The Bulls, they would love to get an offer and trade LaVine at this point, and he would happily go to the airport, but the market's just not there for LaVine right now. Hopefully it materializes, but we will see. Gordon Hayward's available for a trade. Nick Richards available for a trade from the Hornets. The D'Angelo Russell contract, the Lakers are trying to throw in, but the player option for 18.7 is a really big issue for other teams, so hopefully they're able to change that. The Heat, if you didn't know, are experiencing a ridiculous amount of injuries. Let's switch over to some injuries. Tyler Hero, Kyra Lowry, Caleb Martin are all in action. Butler's also back in action. So they're getting some guys back while a lot of their team is still out. I'm trying to think here. Look, the Grizzlies also signed Scottie Pippen Jr. to a two-way. That's pretty cool. The NBA is allowing LaMelo's tattoos upon his return. Yeah, it's the same names that are being mentioned. So we'll really see what happens. The Nets won an equivalent of two first-rounders for Dorian Finney-Smith. I doubt they get that value, but who knows? The Lakers, the rumblings, as you'll keep hearing, they're committed to Ham, and his job's not in jeopardy. We'll see. We will see. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Lakers do if Bronny ends up declaring, and then what ends up happening with LeBron then after. I can definitely see a team trolling and going, well, we're gonna pick him up. And grab him. I really think that's everything that I can find right now that I haven't already mentioned. If you have questions, you can go ahead and send them into the mailbag. If there's a rumor that you want me to look into, you can send it into the mailbag at any given time. The mailbag is going to be available on Spotify and YouTube. If you go to the mailbag on Spotify, you're just going to want to go in there and click the engagement features. You can hit the poll, you can hit the response question, you can leave your mailbag question. If you go over to YouTube, you can also leave it just by simply clicking a comment. Speaking of which, I believe there are some mailbag questions. I'll end with that real quick, and then we'll get out of here this week on Dynasty Down Under. Okay, I don't have it up. Let's see. Right here. So one of the questions here, and I think this is a great place to kind of end. Where do I think ultimately that Pascal Siakam lands? He's gonna get traded. I think he ends in Dallas or with Indiana at this point. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of where I think. For the poll that I put up last week, we got some good response. We're looking at, for the Warriors, that looks like Wiggins or Clay are the top two answers for who's going to get traded first there. I'm going to re-put the same question this week because I thought it was really good. And that's it. So I really appreciate y'all. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll hit you next week here on Dynasty Down Under.